And chapter 7 to them. I were at great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, you saved me not out of their hand. And when I saw that you saved me not, I put my life in my hand and passed over against the children of Ammon. And the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are you come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim, because they said, "You are fugitives, fugitives of Ephraim, ye Gileadites, in the midst of Ephraim and in the midst of Manasseh." And the Gileadites took the fords of the Jordan against the Ephraimites. And it was so that when any of the fugitives of Ephraim said, "Let me go over," the men of Gilead said unto them, "Art thou an Ephraimite?" If he said, "Nay," then said they unto him, "Say now, Shibboleth." And he said, "Sibboleth," for he could not frame to pronounce it right. And they laid hold on him and slew him at the ford of the Jordan. And there fell at that time of Ephraim 42,000. And Jephthah judged Israel 6 years. Then died Jephthah the Gileadite and was buried in one of the cities of Gilead. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we give thee thanks for the time we've had together already. We've sung and prayed, and now thy word has been read, and we desire to hear it preached from. How delightful is thy word to us. Thy Son quoted those words, every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, and we pray that thou shalt strengthen our inner man by the words that proceeded from thy Spirit through the instrumentality of men. We look to you, our God. We desire to be fed. So cleanse us from our sins and empower and prepare hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It would not be out of place to compare Jephthah to our Savior, even though his birth was one that would relegate him outside the children of Israel to the 10th generation. For this reason, whenever any Old Testament saint, or sinner for that matter, is set before us as a picture of the Lord Jesus, they are not always perfect. I ask you of Jonah, what kind of prophet was he? You say a prophet that was filled with jealousy and hatred. And tell me, what kind of king was Solomon? You say he was a king that was filled with lust and idolatry. And yet, they are pictures of our Savior. The Savior himself says so in Matthew 12. And also, when he speaks about one wiser than Solomon is here. And so think for a moment about Jephthah, even though his birth is illegitimate, and think of him when he is cast outside, rejected by his own family, but then, having been rejected, he's called back and made their head. And you think of Psalm 118? The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. And in like manner, one that was hated by the children of Israel is the one who turns out to be their deliverer. And so it is with this despised son of Gilead named Jephthah. And his life was one of sorrow continually. To be hated by his brethren, to be alienated to the land of Tob, and then to fight the battles of God amongst the Ammonites, and then as tonight, to have to fight the battle against his own people. And I did not even mention the sorrow of heart when he lost his own daughter because of a vow that he made to God. Here's a man whose life is filled with contention and strife and sorrow, and yet he's used of God, and his name is illustrious in Israel. So this is something about Jephthah. But I said brother Jephthah, and this is funny. Knowing that Jephthah was a bastard, how many of you want to say, oh yes, Jephthah is my brother? You would if you came to the fords of the Jordan and they said, are you a Gileadite or are you an Ephraimite? You would be so delighted to be associated in any way with Jephthah. But there was a sure way to expose them. I think of Peter when he's by the fire just before our Lord was crucified, and they ask him, do you know Jesus of Nazareth? And he speaks to them, and the words that he speaks, they say, thy speech bewrayeth thee. Make it thee known. And in like manner, I can tell where people are from by their inability to pronounce certain words. Now, I can speak correctly. I can say walk and talk and fall and wall, but I speak to those a little farther north and they'll say wall and tall and walk and talk. And I say talk, and they'll say talk. I say dog, and they'll say dog, and they don't realize it, but they're not able to say those words. They cannot form to pronounce those words, and so when they speak them in a certain way, then their speech erases them. Now, I can say tall, and I can say tall. I can say walk, and I can say walk. But these people, when they came to the fords of the Jordan, they did not realize, and they were unable to frame their lips to pronounce the word. And the mispronunciation of it meant certain death. And at that time, they who had fought against Jephthah, who had rejected him, would be delighted to say, brother Jephthah. But they weren't able to pronounce the word correctly. So here is Jephthah, and what is so sad, and I mentioned his life being like that of the Savior, one sorrow, enmity, warfare, constantly. From the very start, his mother was different from his brethren, and then rejected by his brethren, then associated with a motley crowd, then having to fight battles, and then having won the battle to come and have his daughter taken away from him. And now, having been victorious for the nation of Israel, part of the nation of Israel comes to him, and they chide him, they rebuke him, but more than that, they say, we will burn your house over you with fire. Now, the difference is this, and I would tell you, that starting in the book of Joshua, chapter 17, and in the book of Judges, chapter 8, the tribe of Ephraim has manifested this conceit, this desire to be preeminent, and they are handled by Joshua in a way that brings about peace, and by Gideon that brings about peace. But they do not know what it is to contend with a bastard, because he does not treat a person in a politic way. They came to Joshua and said, we be a great people. We want more portion than one. And Joshua said, you are a great people. He said, then go and cut down the forest and you can expand your land and go and fight against your enemies. And they said, why, our enemies have chariots of iron, and why, they're forests. Do you see what they're saying? Why, this is work to do. Why, our lives are in danger. And Joshua took them up at their own words and said, you are great people, you can do it. And so go cut down the forest and fight the battles, and you can make a place for yourself. You can have another portion. You see, all this comes out, their pride in Joshua 17. And then in chapter 8, Gideon has gone forth and has fought the battle, and they come up to Gideon and say, How is it that you went out to fight without us? Now, Gideon is politic. He says, why, don't you understand that the gleanings of Ephraim are greater than the full harvest, the vintage of Abiezer? He and his followers are Abiezer, Ephraim. And so they said, ah, well, so he gives us our place. And so they left him alone. Now, it may very well have been that Gideon had to say that because he was still engaged in battle. But he was politic. Joshua knew how to handle them. But now they come to Jephthah and they say, how is it that you pass over without us? Do you know who we are? We'll burn your house over you with fire. And Jephthah says, you will? And he goes and he gathers together the army of the Gileadites. And just as he went forth to fight the Ammonites and destroy them, now he goes forth to fight the Ephraimites and he destroys them. So beware with whom you contend. There are some people that you can come. You have a name that you live and are dead. You can contend with some people and they will be politic and they will be diplomatic and smooth things over and you will be able to keep your pride. And there are others when you are embarrassed because of the victory experienced by others and you did not enter into the victory because you did not enter into the fight. At times, you can be sued over by being puffed up and by being flattered by one such as Gideon. Why, our gleanings, your gleanings, why our vintage, your gleanings, that comparison. And so it smooths them over. But Jephthah is going to have nothing of it. He says, you're going to fight. You're going to burn my house over me with fire. We'll see about that. And so Jephthah goes and destroys them. And I think of this poor man. Here is one who has done so much for the nation of Israel. He's come back. They've had to humble themselves. And now they are contending with him again. And there are some Christians who are reprehensible that way. You see, Diotrephes would say that. If anybody was going to have a place other than the Diotrephes, unless they could soothe Diotrephes, he would contend with them. He would boast that he was a great one. But there are some that know how to deal with people like that. And once in my life, it comes to mind, and it was so many years ago, I won't tell you about it, but at one time, it was not a compromise, but when I was right, I had to say I was wrong, and that's a terrible thing to have to do. I remember that we were together, and we had Sunday school classes, and we didn't have rooms, and we didn't have petitions, and so we would speak quietly to the little number that each one of us had, and there was one Sunday school teacher, and the children would come up and shout and disturb everybody, and she was unable to control the children, and I went and spoke to her and said, I wish that you could keep those children quiet. It would be so good if you did such a thing. And the woman became indignant and told her husband and sent her husband to me and said, my wife demands an apology. And so rather than destroy everything, I had to go and say, I'm so sorry I said that about your children. Yes, children will be children. I can't even remember the words that I had to say. But had it been that situation repeated again today, my name would be Jephthah. It would not be Gideon because I kept the people that I was teaching quiet. She was unable to keep the people she was teaching quiet. But there are those who are politic, but beware when you meet a man like Jephthah. And one other thing. God, it says, those that exalt themselves, God is able to abase. Ephraim, we are a great people. That's what they told Joshua. Joshua said, you're a great people, then go out. You can take them. You can win the battle. You can tear down the forest. You're a great people. And Gideon acknowledged, oh, yes, yes, you are a great people. Here we are. We are Ephraimites. The time comes when they who had boasted that they were Ephraimites at the fords of the Jordan, they say, are you an Ephraimite? And now they say, no, we are not an Ephraimite. You see, he would say, we are brethren of Jephthah. And so the ones that were so proud to be Ephraimites, the time comes when they are afraid to say they are Ephraimites. They're prepared to tell lies, just as Peter did. Aren't you a follower of Jesus of Nazareth? I don't know the man. I've never heard of him before. And then to curse and use an oath that you don't know who Jesus is. So at times, we want to dissociate ourselves from people. At other times, we want to associate ourselves with people. Like it says in the Bible, in that day, many people will become Jews. Why? Because now they are the tail and not the head. But in that coming day, there are many people that will be glad to associate themselves with Israel. And so now they say, oh no, we are not Ephraimites. We are of Gilead. We are associated with Jephthah. And so they say, all right, say the word Shibboleth. And so they say, Shibboleth. And it says that the Gileadites destroyed 42,000 of them. How sad. The difference is this. The word Shibboleth means an ear like a grain, a kernel, or it means a stream, but that's not significant. But the difference is there is the word Samech in the Hebrew, and there is the word Sheen in the Hebrew. And whereas it should be Sheen, Shibboleth, they pronounced it as if it were Samech, Shibboleth, and it gave them away. And when it happened, then the Gileadites were merciless. So this is the sad thing, that those who had been delivered from their enemies themselves should be destroyed by their friends. And it says concerning the people of God, it says, take heed if you bite and devour one another, lest you consume one another. How sad when we have finally found a man who can fight against our enemies and he wins, and now this same man fights against us. And one like Jephthah is able to overcome not only the enemies of God, but he's able also to overcome the people of God. And now, not like some of the judges of Israel, he had a very brief reign. And in what city was he buried? We're not told. Who were his descendants? They say he only had one daughter, and she died without issue. Yes. And where is he? In the chronicles and the genealogies of Israel, he disappeared. And so a man with only his father Gilead by name comes upon the scene, and we know not his daughter's name, and he has no offspring. He's used of God. He judges Israel for 6 years. He's a blessing to the children of Israel. And then he also teaches one of the tribes of Israel to know their place. And then God takes him off the scene, and that's all we know about him.